Ralph Davis from the State Board. He's going to give us his annual update, State of Affairs of the State. But also, I forgot to mention about the temperature in the room. Let me know if you're getting too warm or too cold, and I can break into these little boxes there and make you comfortable. So, Ralph?
Okay, somehow I feel inadequate. Don't have any problems with my last name. If you don't mind, I'm going to use the new laptop State issued to me. A couple of months ago, Gula called me and said, would you like to be on the agenda, as you always are, and I said, yeah, sure. And she said, I look forward to you coming and entertaining us. Wasn't quite sure how to take that. The update of what's happening at the Board of Equalization. Actually, I don't have a whole lot this year. Just a little information. When I first started the board in 1991, headquarters for Board of Equalization was spread across 17 different buildings throughout the city of Sacramento, county of Sacramento, which they consolidated into one building. We moved in 1994. The headquarters, there are 4,200 employees, 3,000 in our building. The building is 24 stories tall. In March of this year, the windows started falling out. Some of them from the 24th floor. So it's not a good thing. So we've been dealing with that. It may seem like a minor thing. There's a lot of plans on your part in the parking lot. But it's a $15 million project to go through and check every single window, painted glass, which covers 100% of the outside of a 24-story building. We have to walk through covered scaffolding in order to get into the building. Looks pretty much like a concentration camp. In order to test this, you don't know how disconcerting it is to be sitting on the 20th floor and suddenly someone is banging on the window outside. you react. Sometimes not well. Consequently, as part of this, they have identified what had to be replaced, but in order to do that, they have to work from inside the building, so everyone who sits on has a window, every single one of us in our unit, has to relocate from 3 to 10 days to another place in the building. So think of your cubicle, packing every single thing, moving to another location, coming back. So we've been doing that since March. Two blocks away from us, they're building twin 50-story towers. I'm not sure when the completion is, but since April or May, that project has to drive 2,400 piles. By city ordinance, they're allowed to do that from 7 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. They're probably going to finish sometime in December, January, just in time for the 27-story building across the street from us to begin driving the pile. State of California, Tax Area Services Section, the staff of 12. One is a temporary manager. One is clerical staff, support staff, which leaves 10. Out of that 10, there are two lead analysts, myself, I'm responsible for information management and operations. The other lead analyst is responsible for mapping. Leaves 8 people. Of those 8 people, last year at this time, there were 13 staff, now there are 12. Out of those 8 people, one is on maternity leave until January 2nd. One of them is on medical leave, and it's questionable as to whether or not they're going to return. We're now down to 6. One of those is responsible for doing intake review. That is reviewing everything that is submitted to us and guaranteeing that everything is in appropriate order, which is a full-time job, leaving 5 people to process changes. This keeps up, I'm going to have to actually work. We're actually receiving about the same amount of filings. It's not significantly plus or minus either way, but we're down to 5 people. What do? We map 13, think about your county. Think about your county. We map 13 million parcels, 10,000 revenue districts, 59,000 plus tax rate areas. The tax rate area system or application is one that I developed about 10 years ago and have reached a point where that is not a good thing, because I can get hit by a bus and nobody knows how to do it. So an entirely new application is being developed by our Technology Services Division, and for the last year I've been working with that program, and it's really, really good, because this guy, a programmer, actually understands what we do with a TRA system. And I keep asking him to come work for me, but he won't. Okay, what does that mean? What that means is that we got it. The application we got for testing a couple of weeks ago, and probably next week, the 1st of November, we're going to be running parallel of the two applications, because we can't just pull the plug on the old one. So in the 5 people processing the changes, they're now doing twice the work in 2 applications. Okay, how's your bid since the last time? That's pretty much what I'm doing. Coming out of that new application, there are going to be some changes in the way that we are handling and will be disseminating the information back to you and the counties. The way we had done things from 1934 up until 1995 had never changed, not a single thing. The biggest improvement was the Kohinoor pin. That's what it was. For the counties that we process that are still ink and paper, Kohinoor is really good. Others were processing digitally. We have about 29 counties, or we will have 29 counties at the end of this season. We're halfway through the state. Each time we get a county where we can work digitally, it cuts down our processing time. As staff has, the number of staff has diminished, we've had to make dramatic changes in the way we handle them. The processes that we have been using since 1934 were determined by the ability of the technology in 1934. Well, we have different technology, different ways to use it, so we're looking at things in a lot different manner. And you will be informed of these major changes as they come along. One of the things that is going to change, as you're aware, I've been sending out either the 3.5-inch floppy or the CD with all the tax rate area data on it. data tables, those are going to change. So you might want to warn your people who are going to be using that data and importing it that those things are going to be different this coming year. What's going to happen probably in November is I will be sending a letter out to auditors and assessors explaining some of the changes. And the most important part, and you're going to need to get back to me, is what format you want to receive the data, the tabular data. If you remember, it's coming, what I've been sending is in a DBF format. Well, that was DBF because that was the software I had in 1993. Well, the data now is going to be on SQL Server. And what I'm going to ask you is, do you want to receive it, continue to receive it as a DBF? Do you want it in XML? Do you want it in text delimited? Several choices. But bear in mind, if you ask for it in one specific one, that doesn't mean you're going to get it that one. What it means is I'm going to sit down with the programmer, we're going to look at the responses and see which one is predominantly requested, which format, and which is, makes the most sense, so that everyone will receive it in the same format. Okay. So you may want it in the DBF, but you may get it in XML, because everybody's going to get XML. So be prepared for that. A couple of other issues that I want to talk to you about, and one is an issue that has actually been there for a while, but it was a minor issue, but for some reason in the last couple of years is growing and becoming a larger issue. And that issue is tax rate areas wholly contained within a street, not on a parcel. It's only on the street.
Yeah.
And then there are actually a couple of cases in Los Angeles County where there are four individual tax rate areas in an intersection. Well, what's happening, the reason it's an issue, is because what's happening within the counties, either the assessor or the auditors, is they're treating it as though it doesn't exist. It's not there because there are no value, so they ignore it. The first time I encountered this was a long time ago, 10, 12 years ago. I was visiting a county, talking about getting the parcel data from the county, and it was a county. And so they're giving me the demonstration, you know, showing me at their shop. And I started looking at this thing, and it's got all the parcels are, you know, nicely colored, but there's these big white stripes at right angles. Well, what's this? It's the streets. They didn't assign every TRA, they stopped at the parcel line. Didn't map the street. The argument is there's no value, so there's no reason to do it. I beg to differ. There may not be current value, there may be future value, or there may be value in the street that you're unaware of. Does this ring a bell? Let me give you the basic scenario of why you have to do that. State Constitution, Article 13, Section 11. Are you familiar with that? Everyone can quote that? Okay. I don't believe it. Section 11 property is, it states that the property owned by a revenue district that is within the boundaries of its district is not assessable. We all know that. It's exempt. Other side of the coin, Section 11 property is assets and property owned by the district outside the bounds of its district is assessable. Okay? Let's take a scenario with a independent water district decides to put in $100 million worth of new pipeline running down the middle of the street to serve this neighborhood. If the boundaries of the district stops at the parcel line, doesn't include the street, $100 million of value is buried in that street, and that water district can be billed for it. Okay? There's a thing called Hannigan property. Hannigan property is on the utility roll, and that's where a utility has an asset, an improvement, land, whatever. But instead of being reported on the 001 or 000001 tax rate area, which is the utility roll, it's reported by the tax rate area of its physical location. Okay? So let's say it's a regulated utility, telephone company, any of those who puts in, again, $100 million worth of property of underground fiber optic cable going down the street or whatever, and it has to be reported by a tax rate area for the bills to be sent out, then it becomes an issue. Because the tax rate area, the revenues collected, is distributed to the district based upon the allocation factors of the tax rate area. So those TRAs in the middle of the street are critical. You may not be seeing them as in the assessor's office yet. I don't want to give you guys any ideas to start checking. But if you look at our maps, you will see that we include all of the streets in the TRAs. Just make sure, I'm sure the people that are causing all the problems are not here. Okay. Mm.
Okay.
Couple of other issues. I really don't know how it's going to affect the assessors. Two items that were was passed by legislation signed by the governor of chapter. Some of you may already know about them. There may not be an issue for you. They might. We don't know yet. AB 2670 moved unitary railroad property, all track mileage and property, from TRA based to the utility roll. So some of those values are going to start dropping off the actual dollars that normally would be associated by a tax rate area and will be appearing on the utility roll. Now, as far as the mapping and the GIS, impact is probably going to be lower than it would be for the auditors, because the auditors are going to have to deal with this shift and how the distribution of the funds to the special district. The other is, may or may not, and that's SB 13-something, I can't remember what it was, 1376 maybe, and initially was started by in San Diego, Southern California Electric, or San Diego Gas Electric, or something. The power generating plants, they've been having a lot of difficulty with getting licenses to install these generation plants in communities, because being on the utility roll, the community doesn't get any revenue from that. What this particular piece of legislation does is those particular types of generating plants, there's a whole set of criteria. It has to be a certain size, all these things. It is assigned, it will be treated differently from the rest of the regulated utilities. The revenues from those facilities have a specific distribution allocation with city, schools, and water, nothing else. So there's going to be a shift in that distribution. However, part of that is not only the facility itself, the generating plant, it also includes transmission lines. By that one for a bit. And if the transmission line is buried and going down the middle of the street, going back to what I was talking about before, as I said, as far as mapping, it may or may not have an impact in the mapping. No way of telling in for another year or two until it starts being implemented. The last, when I told the people in our office that I was coming, and I said, you know, every year I go, what am I going to talk about? So they'll stay awake this time. One of the things that was brought to my attention, and I'll just pass this on, and I really don't know if you guys can have any input, but when there is changes of jurisdictional boundary, documents are submitted to you, you guys are looking at it and stuff, and I know a lot of counties, the mappers are giving feedback to the districts and the applicants, where they're saying, well, if you do it that way, Ralph's not going to like it. They'll work towards fixing it. If that opportunity ever comes up, one of the things that is required, and for some reason the engineering people that do this seem to want to leave out, is the township and range information. And for us, that's really critical, because that's one of the major, that's like the first thing we look at when we're trying to locate where the subject territory is. So if you can help us out in dealing with public works or dealing with a private engineering company and you don't see the township and range, just go, listen, moron. do it differently. The question I always get is the ranchos. We need to know the rancho. But what's really helpful is, even though it's not legal, is the fictional township and range. What we use is the Bureau of Land Management has gone through and done the PLS public land survey. Is available digitally from their website. And what they've done is, where there's a rancho, it's this imaginary township and range and sections that they've built going through it, and it's just used as a point of reference. That's what we use, is the BLM PLS. I'll see if I can get some more letters. But those are the major things that are happening at the board. We have half of the counties digitally. We're adding about between 4 and 6 counties a year. So I'm hoping to have all 58 done before I go to meet my maker. And we just keep plugging along. That's all I have to say. Except that what I want to do is, I have 5 minutes left. So if you have any deep, burning questions. Yes?
I'm from Butte County, and we have got an idiot problem with the city of Chico in particular.
I know that.
Does everyone hear? Boring factory areas.
Does everyone hear the question?
No.
Can you maybe speak
up? County has a really severe problem, in particular with one city, City of Chico. They totally ignore tax rate areas that they have put in place for their benefit, particularly to do with RDAs, and they want to combine and or change boundary lines in total disregard of the TRA lines. We tell them no. Our local area formation tells them no. They record it anyway. We have got $1 million buildings sitting on a TRA line. And they say, well, that's the assessor's office problem. They can phrase it across that. Yeah. But tell that to a school district, or tell that to another district, especially if there's an RDA involved, we can't do it. Where's the key? What can we tell these people? How do we get them to conform?
Where's the teeth? I don't know. Give them my name and number. And I have spoken to a number of people in Butte County, and I mean, I'm a really nice guy, but I can also be pretty nasty. My favorite expression is, if you don't like it, take your business to the other Board of Equalization. All I can say is work with the building relationships with the planning department, because I know in a couple of counties where that will occur in the mapper in this one particular county that I have in mind, will just flat out say, I'm not signing off. I don't care what you say. I'm a county employee, you can't fire me. I'm not going to do it. And he'll send them to me, and I'll say, he's right. It really is a question of political power between various agencies, and unfortunately, you and I are caught in the middle. I've gotten some real nasty voicemails from counsel for these agencies. I don't always return my voice, you know, call back. But if I do talk to them, I will tell them up front, this is the way it is. This is the law. You cannot do this, or you have to do that. If you can get planning department on your side, you know, go ahead, take them out to lunch, you know, whatever it takes, so that they do not issue permits for land use, and building departments, so they will not issue building permits, slowly but surely will come around. The city of Chico is very, very odd.
Yes. I've been down really hard for the last one. We sent them a letter and told them that we would advise you not to issue building permits. And they don't care. Too bad. It's your problem. We don't know what to do.
Well, I'm not sure that I really have an answer. Because if they're going to ignore you, they're going to ignore me. But Lord, I don't want to get started on redevelopment agencies, because we'd be here all day and I'd never stop talking. I can talk about my daughter. On the agenda, down there from the last thing is potential technical issues, open discussion. I mean, I'm going to be here for that. If there's any other issues that I can answer during that time, please raise them. There was a conversation I was having with Doug and Donna last night about the AH-215 that you may want to discuss as a group. This is the time, you know, this is the time that I'm here. So take advantage of it. And that's all I have to say.